Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning to you. I'm Andy Griffin. You can't hear too good. All right, let's turn your... I think this one will help. No? All right. We're trying to get Mayor Randall's headphones up a little bit.
I can whistle along while you're trying to figure out how to hear.
Playing with the button. That help? No?
Yes.
That one did. Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the program. We want Michelle and Scott to hear. Scott Taylor is here from St. George City. He's the Water Services Director. Scott, welcome to the program. Appreciate you being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
It might rain today, Scott. Does that make you excited?
Absolutely. We need more.
We love when it rains.
In fact, there's like a maybe 15 to 20% chance of rain today. Later on, like Sunday, Monday, they got 50, 60% chance of rain. So I had Zach on last week, and he was like, we love these spring showers.
Well, that's all we can get.
Yep. we need it. We need it.
We do. Yeah. Dry, I believe somebody was telling me, I don't know if this is right. Scott, you would probably know this. Driest year as far as precipitation totals in, like, ever.
On record.
Ever.
Yep.
Wow. I think last I looked, we were at, like, about 2 inches of precip, maybe a little less, and we usually have about 5 by now, 5.5, something like that. So we're way behind.
And they started keeping records, like, in the late 1800s, I think, in St. George. And so, yeah, we are dismal.
We are.
And, I can't. Oh, social media is so fun.
Yeah, it sure is.
It is. It's a great time. If you want to just go into deep dark depression really quick, just read comments. But
yeah, and you know who does that all the time? My wife. I'm like, honey, why do you read the comments? It's a bunch of trolls being negative about everything. And
everyone's
she's
so
like,
negative.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny. I'm like, I guess if they're not directing negativity at you, then it probably is kind of funny.
Yes, I am. I get really tired of hearing that the city is in bed with the developers and they just are greedy and want more money, more money, more money. And that's why they're allowing people to come in.
The old conspiracy was you were getting kickbacks on the ambulance business. I remember that one. It was like, come on,
it's
people,
ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think as an elected official, you can only, like, somebody could take me to lunch for something, but it can't be more than $50 and, right. Or you have to give it back. Like, somebody once sent us some gift cards and we had to give them all back. Yep. We're like, no, we can't take this. But I wanted Scott on today because, you know, the governor declared a state of emergency for Southern Utah and it started freaking a lot of people out. And mostly, and Scott can correct me on this, and that's why I brought him, because if Scott knows water better than anybody around. I mean, Scott knows water. Thank goodness we have him in St. George. Mm-hmm. But that was mostly done for farmers and ranchers.
That's actually exactly what Zach said last week. He said, listen, you're going to hear, and at that point, the governor hadn't done it yet, but he was talking about it. I said, how does this affect everyday, you know, St. George citizen? He said, little to none for most of us, unless you are a farmer. So
their water is going to be cut by 33%, Scott.
Yeah, the farmers, especially on the Santa Clara River side, their allocation has been cut to about 35%. So if you're expecting 100 gallons, you're going to get 35 gallons this year. And so it's pretty bleak for the ag users. You know, I think the one thing that this declaration will do is it will really heighten our awareness of conservation and the need to do our part to conserve as much water as we can.
So, you know, The commenters, right? The social media commenters are like, we keep building and, you know, they keep building and building and building. We got the water parks and wave pools.
Don't tell me to conserve. Don't tell me to conserve.
You're ruining my quality of life by letting people keep building.
So water has been an issue since 1861.
It really has, yep.
When the pioneers first got here. And it will be an ongoing issue until we're long gone and, you know, my great-grandkids or great-great-grandkids are here. We live in a desert. It's always going to be an issue. Scott was telling me this morning, I'll let Scott tell the story. So Scott's dad used to be my high school principal.
Really?
Ross Taylor. Most people, a lot of old Dixie Flyer people out there know who Ross Taylor is. He was a great guy. And
wait, can I ask, is Rusty Taylor related?
No.
Okay.
No.
Same last name, but not related. All right. Because he's a principal, local principal, too.
No.
Okay. Anyway, go on with your story.
So, Scott, you tell the story of talking to your dad.
Yeah, I was, my parents are mid to late 80s, similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at their house yesterday, and the conversation always goes to water for some reason.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, Dad, you and Mom moved here in 1961.
Wow. Okay.
Have you ever been without water in those 65 years that you've been here? Have you ever been without water? And they have. So okay. Well, 45 minutes of the conversation was it 1962 or 1963 when we had that bad drought? And, in the early 60s, they remember times shortly after moving here that they were asked to turn off their outdoor watering, let their lawns dry up because there was simply not enough water to go around.
Wow. Okay.
I've been looking back in some of the old water and power board minutes. The city of St. George used to have a water and power board that really controlled the water and power of the city. And looking back in their minutes, in 1977, there was a similar situation. There was a bad drought between 1975 and 1977. And that power board had to make some tough decisions and really had to limit the amount of water that we put outdoor on our lawns. Right. And really had to come up with some creative solutions to get them through that period of time.
But imagine if in that time period between 75 and 77, our city forefathers then, whoever was the mayor and council, said,
No more
growth. We're cutting it off. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here.
Nope.
There, many, many people would not be here. And so the majority of our culinary water during the summer is used outdoors. It's over 50%, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, so just some rough numbers. During the winter months, the city will deliver about 13 million gallons a day of water to our customers.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer months, we're at about 45 million gallons a day. So about 30 million gallons a day in the summer is going to outdoor watering.
And so I was reading when the governor's declaration came out, and that's to help the ag people get funding. You know, he had to do that so that they can get funding.
Right.
But... So I'm reading some of the comments and people are like,
"You're not supposed to do that."
I usually don't. And on this one I did because it was all stop building, stop building, stop building. And I'm thinking, do people realize what that looks like? I mean, if we said tomorrow, no more building permits, we're done. And last year, countywide, so let's go from Enterprise, every unincorporated area, Vail, Dameron, Diamond, you know, you name it, every city, town, unincorporated areas, there was 2,500 building permits issued last year. And that includes commercial. We like commercial. Why? Sales tax.
Right.
Because these people, I think a lot of them think if we're issuing building permits, we're greedy because we're getting that property tax. You and I have had this discussion for 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Property taxes have to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I just lost the word. Net revenue neutral. I mean, they can't all of a sudden just explode because you have all this growth. So what the city will collect, our portion of property tax that we will collect is about $13 million. Imagine us trying to run the city our size on just property taxes.
You couldn't do it.
We couldn't run one department. One department.
Was that like 3% of your actual budget?
Yeah, just... So the average person, the average homeowner pays to the city of St. George. Remember, I'm just talking city of St. George. $253 a year.
A year.
To the city. So we really rely on the sales tax. So if we said, no, okay, tomorrow we're done. No more building. Nobody can come in. No new businesses, no new homes. Imagine, A, what that would do to the price of homes. If you think they're expensive now, wait till there's nothing new coming on the market. You're going to put about 40% of our community out of business because we're still that tied to the construction industry.
Number one industry.
You think of everything that goes into building anything, you know, HVAC, electric, concrete. You could go on and on
roofing,
and on.
Roofing,
all of it. So you put those people like in a really desperate spot. And you know, unemployment doesn't pay very well. So they're not going to be going and buying a new car. They're not going to be going and getting a boat. They're not going to be making a Costco run every week and just getting, oh, that looks fun. Let's grab that. No, you cut back. And then what does that do? Our property taxes decline. So the only other option the city has would to be to raise property taxes.
Uh-oh.
And that's what we don't want to do.
Right.
So if people will do simple things, even though this is the worst winter we've had on record as far as snowpack and moisture, it's the little things. I drive River Road every day, live in Bloomington Hills. The chapel right there on River Road and 900 is eliminating all their grass. They've let it all die.
Really?
And they are putting in rocks and drought-tolerant plants and trees. That takes so much less water than a lawn. Then you have people, comments I read, quit watering the parks and the golf courses. Okay. What does that do? That sends all of the water we're treating, the wastewater treatment facility, we're treating wastewater from Washington, Ivan, Santa Clara, and St. George. We are sending that water to Lake Mead. I don't want to send one drop of water to Las Vegas. Hmm. I was born there, but I don't want to give them a drop of water. So what we're watering our golf courses with, what we're watering our schools with, what we're watering our parks with is reuse water. You can't drink that right now, people.
Not yet. Hopefully someday, right?
Well, that's the goal. And many, many cities throughout the nation are going that way. And that's the 20-year plan we have. I'm hoping with this new administration that we can have the Lake Pell conversation again. But we don't have water storage right now. We have three reservoirs that still need to be built. They're in the middle of getting Chief Toker Reservoir done, but it's still just being built. But we have the Graveyard Wash Reservoir that we can store reuse water.
Still needs a new name, but yes.
I said, hey, listen, we could buy a bunch of those skeletons during Halloween and put them on paddle boards and stuff out there and the skeleton dog and make a whole theme park out of it.
Or we could change the name to Hafen Lake or Randall Reservoir or, you know, something like that. Rosenberg Reservoir.
Yeah, Rosenberg Reservoir. Yeah. But Ivan's has plans for reservoir and then Sand Hollow. And I've said this before. If Sand Hollow would have been built. Warner Valley. Sorry, Warner Valley. We would have filled it last year.
Yeah.
With the snowpack we had last year.
Not only would we have enough water for this year, we'd probably have enough water for next year if we were in this major 3-year drought if we had Warner Valley Reservoir.
Yeah.
So, and I wanted to ask Scott about this. You know, Zach is pretty humble, and Zach Ransom, and you know, going back to his predecessor, Ron Thompson, but without the foresight of these guys, these 20-year plans, you know, building, starting with Quail Creek Reservoir and then Sand Hollow, we'd be in a world of hurt right now.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Prior to 1970, there were really no reservoirs here to store water.
There wasn't even Gunlock.
Gunlock Reservoir was built in 1970, and then
really?
Quail Creek in 1985, Sand Hollow in 2000, 2002. So really, reservoirs are essential to our water delivery. You think back even a couple of years ago, Gunlock Reservoir was spilling, overflowing. We have no way of capturing that water once it goes past Gunlock Reservoir. So the more reservoirs we have to fill in the time of plenty, are going to get us through the time of drought.
You were talking about your parents. Was it 63? They never decide on the year on that one?
No, I think they're probably still debating it this morning.
but they were not allowed to water at a certain. They had to let their lawns die. Yeah. There were no reservoirs in 1963. Even though we have less water this year than they did back in 1963, we're still okay, right?
For the time being, yes.
For now, yeah.
But really, we've got to take conservation serious.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at the numbers, if I look back at the last 5 years, in 2024, we used about 2.5% more water than we did in 2020. At the same time, we grew by about 13% in our connections. So we are doing a better job of water conservation.
Right.
Unfortunately, last year, 2023, was a very dry, very hot year. And we used actually about 12% more water in 24 than we did in 23. So we kind of took a step back last year. But overall, we're still doing pretty good. But there is a lot of room for improvement. You know, we talk about drying up lawns, and I think you'll see some city lawns dry up this year that will stop watering. Ornamental lawns that really have no purpose, we'll start drying up some more of those and replacing them with water efficient landscaping, desert landscaping. So we can all do more. And we do need to do more.
Yeah. I think when we had such a great water year two winters ago, we got complacent.
Mm.
And we just do that. Because before that, people were really taking this seriously. And in the summer, no one should water more than 3 times a day.
A week.
Thanks for
You just set the water
right all time.
No, three times a week.
And at the city has put out a message that please don't set your sprinkler clocks between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. It drains our system during those times. And there's not a lot of water pressure during that time. So if you water before 4 a.m. And even I was talking to Shane Moore, our parks guy, and he said, really, when it gets up into 100, 110, for you to be watering every day, your grass is really trying to go dormant, mm-hmm. and that water's not doing any good anyway. And so there's so many little things that people, I was telling Scott, my dad went and bought a hot water recycling.
Yeah, we got one in our bathroom, too.
It's a couple $100s.
Yeah.
And really easy to connect. And now, instead of running my shower for 2 minutes for it to get hot, it's hot in 10 seconds.
Exactly. That's how ours is, too. Yeah.
And so, things like that. Things like getting a smart water meter, a smart sprinkler clock. My sprinkler clock, I can control it from my phone. And if it shows rain in the forecast, those sprinklers aren't coming on.
Nice. There are people who are listening right now who are saying, look, what you're saying, though, is telling me to do things that I shouldn't have to do. I don't want to do. I know what the answer is here, but maybe if you guys can address the fact that, I mean, we've had people call into the show and say, look, you're affecting my quality of life by telling me I can't or shouldn't water. Thoughts?
Well, we can either conserve or we can all let our lawns go dead.
Yeah,
I mean, who wants to look at a bunch of dead lawns everywhere? Imagine how ugly our city would look. And there, some of our new subdivisions have reused water for outdoor watering, so they can keep watering and their grass will look nice. But I don't have reused water to my neighborhood, so it's culinary water.
Go ahead.
And really, if you look at the new subdivisions that are being built, there's really very little turf sod being installed.
Right.
A lot of it is desertscape, water efficient landscaping, and we're seeing that in our numbers. The new developments are using just a fraction of the water that older or established neighborhoods are.
I think that's worth noting because, Zach has pointed it out before. I did a drive, it's in Washington City, not St. George, but that new Solis And it seemed like, and I don't know the exact numbers, but it seemed like maybe only 20% of those houses had actual grass. So some of them had artificial turf. A lot of them just had kind of desert landscape in their front yards. And I was like, all right, way to go, Solis. I don't know, you know, anything more about it except for that they are taking it seriously. And it's mandated, a lot of it, right? You are only allowed a certain percent now of your yard to be grass in new builds.
Right.
So yeah. we're getting a message a little bit at a time. I wonder, okay, so 10 years ago, I was a sports guy. All I did was sports. I didn't even know who the mayor, I guess I knew because everybody knew Dan MacArthur, right?
Yes.
Or John Pike maybe after him. But, I wasn't really into that. And I wonder if your everyday guy, maybe your sports guy who doesn't pay much attention to civics and things, if they're getting this message. Right now we have converted our front yard into artificial turf and trees and our side yard to artificial turf and trees. We don't have a backyard. We have a pool instead. With a cover, I might add, so we don't lose the water to evaporation. But I don't know, would I have done that 10 years ago? Notwithstanding the financial part of it, but just, you know, are we getting the message through to everyday St. George resident? What do
you think? Before they offered the turf buyback program, I had a big yard, and we've removed half of it. We have a small piece in the front and a little bit of grass in the back for the dog and the grandkids. But before, we had a ton of grass. And I love having less grass. It's less upkeep, you know.
Less work, for sure.
Totally. Yeah. A ton of less work. But also, let's say that you owned 100 acres of property here and you wanted to develop it eventually. Mm-hmm. And we just said, no, you can't. I mean,
that sounds un-American, by the way, but go ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is un-American.
Yeah.
And so when people say, stop it, tell me how you do that. If you own property here or you just purchased a lot and we're saying, nope, you can't build a house on it. Sorry. Too bad. So sad.
Un-American. Yep.
We've never done it. And, you know, Gary Esplin was the city manager for 40 years.
Yeah.
And he always said, if a city isn't growing, it's dying. And yes, you have to keep preparing those water sources, new wells, new reservoirs, all of that kind of stuff, and your power grid, you know, to keep up with the growth. And of course, we're always complaining about traffic. So.
Oh, traffic, yeah.
Lots of fun things come with growth.
Yeah, and we hope, honestly, I would say, this is not very nice of me to say, but I would say, look, if you don't like the idea of having to conserve water a little bit, maybe you should live somewhere else where they have a big old fat river rolling through town and you don't have to worry about conserving water.
There's a lot of places in the country that
By the way, I said it. Scott didn't say it. Michelle didn't say it. I said it. So if you want to get mad at somebody and make rude comments and online or whatever, that was me, not them. So.
And thanks so for
I'll
clarifying.
Let you guys off the hook because I got to do a weather break too. So we'll be back right after this here on the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back. This is the Andy Griffin Show on Mayor Thursday. Mayor Michelle Randall is here. She's been reading the comments, so she's a little salty, I think, or something, but she's always happy. So, and Scott Taylor is here,
never
too.
Never salty.
Never? No? Not even a little?
Ask my family. I'm just always happy, lucky.
That'd be a salty day when your husband got
mad. My phone is going to blow up, and they're going to say, Mom, you're lying to everybody.
Moms never get salty. No.
No, never.
Anyway, thanks for being here, both of you. Really, really do appreciate it. When Zach was on last week, we talked about the ick factor. Now, in reference to, he said there was a phrase that was coined from toilet to tap, and he says he hates that phrase because it gives people this theory that they're drinking toilet water when you're talking about, you know, secondary use water. But you look at the big cities in the West, you got San Diego, LA, Las Vegas, all these big cities use reuse the water that has been in showers and toilets. They purify them. I mean, in fact, often he said they're often cleaner than the regular water that they would have gotten. But still, I know a lot of people are like, ew, I don't want to drink that. Any thoughts, Scott?
It's wet water.
It's wet? Okay.
No, it's really... It's the way of the future. I was reading an article yesterday. Phoenix, state of Arizona, just passed a new regulation for direct potable reuse water. So Phoenix is looking over the next 10 years, they'll be producing up to 100 million gallons a day of direct potable reuse. That's water that's going basically from your toilet to the tap. But it's treated in advanced water treatment processes. In most cases, it is cleaner than the drinking water you're getting right now.
He was actually telling me there's a certain, that sometimes they get it so clean that it's too clean, and they have to add some minerals back into it so that it doesn't taste. He called it flat. It doesn't taste so flat. So,
right. Yeah.
Which is amazing. I mean, obviously they're purifying it.
The technology is there, and the technology is there for salination treatment too. You know, and I look at California.
That's expensive, though. By the way,
it is very expensive. Yeah. But look at California seems to have a money tree and they don't care.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, except they're going bankrupt.
They are going bankrupt.
Billions of dollars in debt. But.
And California has the advantage of, with their desalination, they can dump their brine right back into the ocean. Which we don't have that luxury here. That's the majority of the cost for us being able to desalinate is what do you do with the
all
waste
the
stream.
Salt.
Because
yeah,
all of the water south of the Virgin is just brackish water.
Yeah, worse than the ocean, actually, because of the pot temp, right? The hot springs
you couldn't even use it on a lawn. It would kill it.
Yeah. Okay, let's address some texts. Let's see. Does the city turn off the sprinklers at parks, et cetera, with their phones when it's going to rain, too, like you want us to do for our homes? Michelle?
I will have to ask. I know we do turn them off. I don't know if they turn them off with their phones.
Okay.
But if we get a rainstorm,
the city's going to turn off the park sprinklers. That's good. I think that's the gist of the question there. Okay. This is a long one. So the lawns dry up, big deal. When you cut off water to the farmers and ranchers, that's affecting our food supply and their livelihood. I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's not time to read it all. We'd be out of time on the show. But thoughts on that and the state of emergency and cutting water down on the farmers.
So, I mean, the reason they would be cutting water down is because there's just not water available.
Okay.
So
it's not like they're saying, yeah, we're going to cut it from the farmers and give it to the people in the city. There just isn't water.
There just isn't water. So, okay. You know, I think what this emergency declaration does is it probably provides some funding to the ag community. You know, if you think about it, those ranchers are reliant on grass growing on the range.
Right.
If we don't have water, there's not going to be the grass there. The farmers are relying on the water to grow their crops. If there's no water, there's no crops.
No crops,
so
yeah.
I think the emergency declaration, I think there will be funding available for the ag community to help them through this time.
Okay. So they can, you know, buy hay to feed their cows or whatever. But got to remember that we're talking canal water, right? Irrigation water. It's not just waters that we get through our pipes like we do our sprinklers to our front yards. It's a different way they get with their water.
Here's a text. Can you ask Scott if the city has found the origin of the water coming from the Puerta de Apartments on Indian Hills and Valley View? You were telling me there's a lot of groundwater in that area.
Yeah, that whole area, it's surprising the amount of groundwater in that area. If you were to drive through the subdivisions there, you'll notice a lot of the residents have piped drainage pipes into the gutters. They're connected
to a sump pump
in their basement. Yeah, so it's surprising that a lot of areas in the city have high groundwater. My parents, when they built their home in 1967, they wanted a basement. They were only able to go down about 4 feet before they hit groundwater. Water. So they had to...
Plan B. wow.
Unfortunately... as Mayor was mentioning, a lot of the groundwater in the area is very brackish, so it really can't be used for drinking water and even really can't be used for irrigation.
Okay. Another question, another text. When they treat toilet water for us to drink, do they put chemicals in the water so we can drink it? You would think that chemicals would be really bad for us. As I understand it, Scott, and me, you can be, give us some more enlightenment, but as, just as an average Joe, I they don't really put a lot of chemicals in it. They run it through a lot of filtering, right? Or is it both?
So, you know, there are some chemicals, pharmaceuticals that make their way to the wastewater treatment plant. And so we're going to be taking water from the wastewater treatment plant, treating it to a higher level. So there are some chemicals in there, but the advanced water treatment process will remove those pharmaceuticals, those harmful chemicals.
Okay.
The only chemical that we would add to drinking water would be a form of disinfection, chlorine, like we're doing now.
Okay. Okay. I think that I don't want to speak for the person that texted in, but I think, you know, we trusted the government, the federal government in particular, for so many years to make sure that, you know, the FDA, that we were being safe. And then come to find out, you know, red number 5 does this and red number 40 does this and you know, yellow 5, whatever, these things cause cancer and stuff. And it's like, man, I put my faith in the government for so long to make sure the chemicals in the food isn't killing me. Well, as it turns out, it probably is. So
I think the difference with your local government is,
right,
Scott will be drinking that water and I'll be drinking that water and I don't want cancer again.
Yeah.
And I don't think Scott wants cancer and we don't want to kill our residents, you know? So the technology there is just, I went down and Scott went too. And we toured a couple of facilities in San Diego and they're calling it one water. It's not tap to toilet because that's, you know, pretty disgusting for toilet
terrible,
to tap.
Yeah.
So it's just one water. But, and then one of the other comments I read, and I want Scott to address this. Hopefully it'll get out there, but it just doesn't seem to be. There's people that just tout primary water, primary water, primary water. If you dig deep enough, there's plenty of water in the Earth's atmosphere, that down below, yeah, to go around. You would have to dig so deep, and no, you don't even know what you're going to find, if that water is going to be good water, if it's going to be hot, if it's, and
salt,
if
and
that
burpees,
was
yeah,
really something that everyone could do. I've said this to Zach a zillion times, why aren't entrepreneurs out there doing it? Because we would
rich.
Buy water from them.
Yeah.
Everybody would buy water from them. And the deepest we've dug, how deep have we dug, Scott?
We've drilled, I think our deepest hole that we've drilled is about 1,500 to 1,600 feet deep.
And that's going down
almost,
quite a ways.
Almost half a mile down, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a long ways down. So, all right, Scott, let's take a phone call first. I've got to get a commercial break in too, but they've been patient waiting on the line. Yeah, who's this? We don't have a call screener today. Who is this?
Hey, this is Richard.
Richard, how you doing, man?
Hey, so nobody talks about the hundreds of developments going up in Washington County and the multiple 30,000-gallon standing water tanks that are on the development.
Oh.
And the multiple 8,000-gallon water trucks on these developments. So I don't hear anybody talking about that. So until you figure out that, I don't see anybody that's been here a while cutting down on their water use. Thank you.
So we have fire hydrants that are hooked to the reuse water that they can fill those tanks up with and the water trucks.
So those tanks are full of
reused water.
Some are. We've only got reuse in certain areas, but the caller's right. By far, the development requires a lot of water. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about that. You've got to add moisture to the soil for proper compaction. You want to settle the dust so the dust isn't airborne, causing other problems.
Right.
It is. It's part of development. Development requires water. Now, again, overall, we're doing a pretty good job of conserving water. You look at the development now versus 5 or 10 years ago, it's using a lot less water than it has in the past.
All right. Back to the phone lines. Hey, thanks for calling in. What's your name?
Hi.
Hey,
wanted to see.
Go ahead.
You guys said if we don't want to worry about water, move somewhere where there is water.
I said that, yes.
So I've actually thought about that, moving to the south, because they have a lot of water and the house prices are half price than here.
True.
You can't even afford a house here.
True,
and
yeah.
If you want to water your grass, eventually you'll get told to turn your water off. So I would love to move.
Would you? All right. Well, I go ahead, I guess. I don't know. I will say this. I had a friend who had a house here, actually out in your neighborhood there in Bloomington, Bloomington Hills, and he sold his house for $6-something, went to Arkansas, bought a piece of property that had 14 acres with two houses on it for the same amount of money.
I'm sure.
So, he has his own pond. He's pretty proud of his little mini lake he has there.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that people can go where housing prices are lower and there's plenty of water. I'm staying here. I love it here.
Yeah.
It's home to me. And like the previous caller before, I think if we would just pull together as a community and do our part to conserve on our own at our own house, we're not telling you turn off your sprinklers. We're not telling you, we're just saying simple things. Wait until you have a full load of laundry before you do that laundry. Wait until the dishwasher is totally full before you run your dishwasher.
It's not hard,
It is not hard to do. And it saves millions of gallons of water when people do that.
You know, even a swimming pool, everyone's like, well, you got a pool, you're wasting a lot of water. You know, if you invest in a cover for your pool and keep it covered except when you're using it, it loses very little water. Way less than if you had grass there and were watering grass, you know, three times a week or more for some people. So, all right, I got to pay some bills, you guys. So let's play some commercials. We'll be right back on the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Winding down, only about 6 or 7 minutes left on the show. But, man, I really want to thank Scott Taylor and, of course, Michelle Randall, Mayor, for being here on the program. Scott, normally he would be out there saving lives, right? Getting enough water for all of us to drink and stuff, right?
One drop at a time.
Yeah, one drop at a time. And Michelle is busy reading all the comments and getting salty, I think, or something. I don't know. Is that what you do?
I told you I was never salty, but then my sister texted and said, liar, and my husband texted and said, never salty, ? So they're listening. Hey, at least they're listening.
I'm glad Tony didn't text liar. That wouldn't have been very nice.
No, that wouldn't have been nice. So my sister's not very nice, obviously. You know, Scott mentioned during the break, and it's true. So Scott's born and raised here. And I've been here for a very, very long time.
I've only been here 30 years, so I'm the newcomer here.
You're the new guy in the room. But this community has always pulled together. During floods, you know, we had that earthquake that, thank goodness, it didn't do a lot of damage, but it scared the living daylights out of a lot of us. And, you know, we just pull together. And that's what the pioneers did when they got here. They didn't all like each other, and they didn't even all speak the same language.
Right.
But they pulled together for the greater good of the community. And that's all we're asking people to do. It's just really this summer, when it's 110 degrees, you know, if you got some brown spot on your lawns, just don't click up your sprinkler clock. It doesn't need to be on every single day for a long time. 3 times a week. And I've done it and last summer was horrible. I mean, we had a long, hot summer last year.
Yeah, we did.
We were getting into the hundreds even in September. I kept my sprinkler clock set at 3 days a week. Yeah, I had some brown spots in the backyard. My backyard faces west. And it came back in the spring. I mean, it looks great right now. It'll probably go brown again. But I'm trying to do my part because I love it here. And I want everybody to love it here, and we've always seemed to have that really great, you can call it the Dixie spirit, where people come together and do their part, and all we're asking is just do your part personally to help conserve some water during this summer that we've got coming up that is always really hot.
Yeah, and we're not asking people, you know, we don't want you to turn in your firstborn or anything like that. Cut back a little on the water.
When you're brushing your teeth, turn off the faucet.
Yeah.
You know, don't just let the water run while you're brushing your teeth.
Don't take a 30-minute shower.
No, and
that is, by the way, aimed at my daughters who don't live with me anymore, but come on.
And a bathtub uses a lot more water than a shower does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Scott, any final, we're down to now 3 or 4 minutes. Any final thoughts on water and conservation? And Zach has told us we're okay this year, even if we don't get more rain. But if this happens 2 years in a row, we're in a little bit of trouble.
So that's really why we need to take action now, is prepare for the next year or even two. So, yeah, do your part. Conserve what you can. One thing I wanted to make a plug for is our advanced metering infrastructure, mm-hmm. our AMI meters that we're rolling out right now.
Those are cool.
We've got about 36,000 meters in the city, and we're about halfway through. We've got a little over 18,000 installed. Once these are installed at your home, you'll be notified. You can sign up for an app. It's called Ion Water.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for that app. You can access it through any mobile device or computer. You can see how much water you're using throughout the day on a 15-minute increment. And if there's a leak that it detects, it'll notify you.
And I was going to say, that actually, so we live in St. George. We live in Middleton area. We had a leak. And so we called the city I think the city called us first and said, it looks like you have a leak. And we're like, well, we don't know because we didn't have one of those yet. They hadn't done our neighborhood yet. Mm-hmm. The city came in and put one of those in our house. We were able to then go and find the leak, figure out what was leaking and fix it. And that was all because of the technology you're just talking about, Scott.
Yeah, it's incredible technology. It's found leaks for me, very minor leaks. But if you leave those.
Yeah, ours wasn't months, big.
Yeah. Something as simple as a stuck toilet valve,
right.
It'll detect that, and every little bit helps.
We have a little pond, like 3x3 pond in our backyard. The floater wasn't going all the way up. It was going like 3/4 the way up, so it was still, that was our leak, and all we had to do was buy a new floater, and bada bing, bada, we were there. We got it.
Those AMI meters are a game changer. Yeah. I mean, I look at my phone all the time, like, how much water have we used today or this week?
We can even obsess about those sometimes, huh?
You can. Like, I was telling Scott earlier, I used a lot more water 2 weeks ago than I did these last 2 weeks. And I was like, what did I do different?
Yeah.
I had all my carpet cleaned. And they hook up to your hose, you know?
Right.
And that was the difference.
It's crazy. Just little things like that. So, yeah. So you say we're about halfway through getting people those new meters?
Our goal is by July of next year, we'll be fully implemented.
It's awesome. And now, and you're doing it kind of by neighborhood area, a little at a time?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. And okay. We're just systematically working our way through the city.
Very cool. St. George City is geographically very, very large. So you got your work cut out for you, but doing a great job. Thank you, Scott.
We love it here.
We love it here. We do. I'm the new guy. I've only been here since 95 or 4 or something like that. So, guys, thanks for coming on. Really, really appreciate
it. Thank you.
I'll say it again. Scott was joking. I need to tell everybody. Michelle and Scott did not tell people to move out if you don't like it being dry here and having to conserve. I said it. Andy Griffin said it.
You
can quote me and you can get mad at me and whatever. But there are a lot of places with big old fat rivers that you can, and they have railroad tracks and all kinds of stuff running through their town. And if you want to live there,
and tornadoes. Hurricanes, yeah. And.
So it's all there if you want to go there. But we love it here. Like I said, I came here in the mid-90s, and I told my wife I was going to climb the ladder of success and, work in big cities and all that. And my wife was like, I really like it here. How about if we stay? And then here we are.
And we're glad you stayed.
30 years later. I'm glad I stayed, too. We are out of time. Thanks, you guys, for coming.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you.
Mayor Thursday on this May 1st, 2025. Thanks for listening, everybody. Open Line Friday. Mello will be here as well. We'll talk to you then.